I'll stand here today and tell you unequivocally, our markets are going to go higher. You can quote me, you can write it down, I'm just not going to tell you when. I'm Brett Stewart. I want to talk a little bit about trade, the impacts of the global protein, where we're looking at, out into 2009, some of the things we've seen here. You know, the economic financial problems we had here in the U.S. that devalued our markets, commodity financial markets, had a direct impact around the globe. All of our banks are linked to each other electronically. The commerce and trade saw a very direct impact. We've seen that Baltic Dry Index, which is an index of freight rates, lose 90% within about 6 weeks. It was a very direct hit, and during the time, we all remember, we're all glued to the news watching these markets fall apart. One of the big questions we had is, what's happening to our exports of meat? Are we going to be able to continue to export meat in that environment? And we'll get to some of the charts here and look at what really happened during that time period. You can see here, when we talk about exports, we export to some developing countries. One of the other impacts besides just the economic devaluation was the credit freeze. That's a major deal when we look at exporting beef, pork, poultry, especially to some of these smaller markets. And what happened, we began to see defaulting payments. Another factor, credit constraints have a major impact when you have a product that spends 2 weeks in transit on the water. And so as we saw that with Korea, if you're a bank financing Korean beef imports, you're probably a little uncomfortable given the money when the product is 2 weeks away sitting in a U.S. port. On the flip side, if you're a U.S. packer, you're not real comfortable saying, we'll go ahead and ship it to you, send me the check when you get it. And that was where we really saw a lot of pressure on meat trade during that time. Also, you look at what consumer demand has done. We get real nervous about our beef shipments, but in some of our key markets, Japan, Korea, U.S. beef is still a great buy, even today. We'll talk a little more about that later. We've had some reports of the Mexican market downgrading some of their purchases, demand slippage a little bit to poultry, also a little bit to pork. Talk a little more about Mexico later. Here's one of the other major impacts on trade that we saw in the last 4 months. The U.S. dollar, you can see the shifts in the U.S. dollar as it appreciated very rapidly. That's a 5-year chart, and you can see how quick those currencies closed. There was almost a safe haven effect to the U.S. dollar as holdings in other currencies moved to the dollar. Now, if we look at that, you can see at the very bottom on the right-hand side, there's a little tiny piece of stabilization after that big drop. This next chart here shows that stretched out and gives you a hint of what these individual currencies have done through the crisis. One interesting factor is the yen, like the dollar, became a safe haven currency, and we've seen the yen appreciate 15-18% during that time period. What happens when our dollar strengthens against these other currencies? It's not good for us. It makes our competitors' products cheaper, and it weakens the buying power overseas for our product, and that's the concern we had on trade. One thing that I think is pretty positive here, we have a sense of stability now. You can see over the last month and a half, 8 weeks, these currencies have started to stabilize after that drop. And we get real anxious and feel a lot of uncertainty when we see these big moves. But keep in mind, you look at the Brazilian real, the currency devalued by 100%, turned around and increased by 100% just since the late 90s. Currency fluctuations go all over, and this one was pretty rapid. But it's not the end of the world. I think this data is real telling. We all wondered what was going to happen. The October data came out. We saw it up, which wasn't a surprise because a lot of that product was booked. It was in transit, getting close to being shipped anyway. But the November data is what I want you to look at here. Our trade data has always lagged. This is the most recent data we have. And you can see those declines. It's a little unsettling to see the trade slow down. But look at that November point compared to the first point on the chart, which was November a year ago, and things are not as bad as what most people had believed we would see during that time period. Our poultry's down a little bit from a year ago, pork's down a little bit, beef's about steady with a year ago. It'll be interesting to see the December data come out, but I feel a lot more confident about our meat trade situation today than I did before I saw that November data. shift gears here just a little bit and look at the global beef production, look at our competitors, what's going on here. The real competitors of our exports of beef are US, or Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. You can see there that beef that we compete with in Japan, Korea, most of our key markets, we're all facing declines next year. Outside of those countries, the all others group is going to increase by about 1 billion pounds. That's made up almost exclusively of Brazil, India, and China, none of which we compete with directly except for Brazil in Russia on a very small percentage of our meat, our beef exports. So I think this is pretty positive. Fortunately, we're doing the right thing at the right time. As global demand's soft right now, we're cutting production. Should bode well for us into the future. Let's just look at the forecasts here. 2009, what we're looking at. Broilers, we're looking at the exports down 8%. That was driven by the Russian quota adjustments. The Russian government reduced our poultry quota by about 600 million pounds. That's the main reason we're seeing that. Pork down 10%, that sounds like a big number, but you look at that long-term pork export line, and things got really crazy in 2008, mainly driven by the Chinese market. We sent an additional probably 400, 500 million pounds of pork to China last year that we will not send this year, and that's the majority of that decline in pork exports. By the way, broilers and pork are both facing production cuts this year, so that isn't as big a blow as you may think it would be to see those exports slow down. On the beef side, we're pretty optimistic, 24% increase. You can see us working back to those pre-BSE levels. Let's just zoom in here on beef. We're calling it up 469 million pounds. I know we've got a lot of time till the end of the year. The main thing that's different on beef is we're going to have a full year of access to Korea. We started those shipments last fall. We put in a lot of beef in the last 3 months of the year. They were holding some really heavy inventories. The retailers in Korea finally caved in end of November and announced we're going to start selling U.S. beef again. And as the product began to flow, we're working through those inventories. We're pretty optimistic about what we can do in Korea in 2009. We looked, they bought about 586 million pounds before the BSE. We're looking around 460 million pounds, somewhere in that range. We're going to see growth in the Japan market as we have the last few years. Not talking about the access. We're still constrained under 21 months of age, but just because we have more source and age verified cattle. Mexico supply variables look favorable. Demand's a little soft. We've got some trade friction there. We'll talk about that in a minute. Canada continues to see their beef herd decline, production declines. We're looking at 400 million pounds going to Canada in 2009. Those are our top four markets. If we put it together, imports and exports, I think this is very interesting. We go back to 2004, and we net out what happened with trade, and we compare that to what we're looking at in 2009. We're taking over 3 billion pounds off of our net supplies through trade. As we tighten that, as those two lines converge, we're talking 3 billion pounds of beef less than 2004 just based on trade. That's pretty interesting. When we talk about our beef imports, we're talking mainly about lean grinding beef. The majority of the beef we buy goes into fast food hamburgers. What's that business today? McDonald's just posted their quarterly profit up 80% from a year ago. They've announced they're going to build another 600 restaurants in 2009. We know what's going to happen with this fast food grinding beef in 2009. There are two sources of that grinding beef. We can either import it or we can take it from our cull cow slaughter, and we do both. You can see here what happens when we don't import enough beef. We buy it from our domestic cow herd, and that's what happened in 2008. Our imports were down 20%. The majority of the year we had a very weak dollar. We couldn't bid that Australian beef away from the Russians. So we bought the beef from our domestic cow herd. We killed cows harder. Looking out into 2009, we're calling that slaughter down 3%. That's a tough one to put right now because of what we're hearing on the dairy side. You know, there may not be a formal buyout. No matter what happens, we're going to kill a lot of dairy cows this year. And so that 3% includes that assumption. Imports, we're looking up probably 5%. We have a little better buying with the dollar, but definitely a factor to watch because it impacts our beef cow herd and what happens with expansion contraction. On the cattle import side, we're calling feeder cattle up 12% in 2009. Feeder cattle from Canada, we're calling steady, maybe up 1%, but we're definitely going to see some increased cattle shipments from Mexico. And the reason is, last year, Mexico's shipments to the U.S. declined by about 400,000 or 500,000 head. Now, we know the ranches didn't decline. They did a lot of the same things our domestic producers did. As they saw that market erode, they said, we're going to sit on these calves a little longer. Also, the M-Cool discounts they were seeing, they dug their heels in. So we know the cattle are down there. We're probably going to see more of those feeder cattle cross in 2009. Fed cattle from Canada, we're calling steady there, about 1% up, somewhere in that range. This is another major factor that has really hit us hard. It's knocked the wind out of the packing margins, which have knocked the wind out of the sectors down below there. Hide and offal is what's left or over when you make a carcass. When we have a hanging carcass, the offal's out, the hide's off, the head's off. All of these things make up that hide and offal value. And you look at what happened from July 15th to December 22nd, that was about the low. Really, the majority of this damage happened in November. But the main thing that happened there was our hide demand. We saw these hides that were selling for $65 a piece go down to $35. The reason is, what's happened to automobile manufacturing, leather seats, shoe manufacturing out of Korea, China. There's inventories of hides, there's inventories of leather. The hide demand just completely fell out of bed. Tallow also dropped. Tallow was tied to crude oil due to the blending credit to burn tallow as fuel. So as crude came down, the tallow values came down. Livers, meat, and bone meal on down. But we're talking $80 a head. When we look at our fed cattle market today, what does $6 a hundredweight mean to us? This has been a factor that's kind of out there. It's not front of mind, but boy, it sure took a hit this last 6 months on what it's done to our pricing and our margin values. Key considerations looking into 2009, talking about the NAFTA here. Canada and Mexico, these are critical markets for us. We figure they're worth $50-$60 a head just on the volume of beef we're pulling off of our domestic market. And the reason I bring this up is we have a lot of trade friction right now with Mexico. They're very frustrated over the cool regulations. Canada and Mexico are frustrated with us. Cool continues to be a wild card. We're not sure what it was. We had the final ruling issued. It looked like we knew what it was, and the new administration put a hold on it and said they want to review it before it becomes final. So we still have some uncertainty over what cool's going to be. Mexico's very protective of their domestic industry. They've seen our imports swell in recent years. Not just beef, but pork and poultry shipments have grown rapidly into Mexico. So we know we're going to be dealing with issues with Mexico in 2009. Hopefully they're speed bumps and we don't face a ban in that market. Again, 12 months of access in South Korea. That's a big deal for us, and we're pretty optimistic that we'll see good volumes go in that direction. Another factor to think about. In Japan, I said we're still constrained under 21 months of age. That's still hanging out there somewhere, someday. I'm not going to put a time on it, but we're going to see expanded access in Japan. And every year, everyone that's guessed we'd get there this year has been wrong. I'm not saying we're going to see it in 2009, but when you have a factor hanging out there that will potentially add $4 to our fed cattle market like that, we'd be remiss not to talk a little bit about it. I don't think there's real potential of anything happening soon, probably not in the first half of the year, maybe not in the second half of the year. But if we got access to 30 months of age and below, we would see rapid appreciation in the value of tongues, chucks, short plates. We're seeing good action on middle meats today from the source verified cattle. But you look at where we're at. If we move from 21 months of age to 30, that would restore 95% of our pre-BSE trade to Japan. Today we're at 24% of those levels. So this is something to keep an eye on. We think about Japan and the beef. A lot of people think of high-quality beef. We're just sending real high-end beef. The average export value in 2008 of the beef we sent to Japan was $2.88. Now, just to give you a feel for what that means, here's some Kobe Wagyu, A5 Wagyu beef in Japan on the retail shelf, $143 a pound. We aren't talking about competing over pennies in Japan. Not that everyone's eaten this. You know, if it was on the shelf here, not many people would be eating it. But the imported beef in Japan is hugely significant to their market, and the potential's enormous for us there.